I don't have any lipstick or lip oil or I just have chapstick.
You're a chapstick girl.
I'm nothing. I'm a nothing girl. I'm a drink water to prevent chapped lips girl.
So you're just like hydrated all the time? Wow, what's that like? Couldn't be me.
It doesn't work, and I actually have a lip chap part that like I like cut my lip, because if my lips are dry, I smile all the time. I do not stop, and I am going to crack those lips
even when
it
you
just
sleep.
Happens.
Yeah.
I'm smiling in my sleep.
Yeah. Eyes closed, big old smile. It's not creepy. Your boyfriend's not scared of you or anything.
I have happy dreams, Sam. I don't know what you want from me.
I have no dreams. We've talked about this. I barely dream. I never remember anything.
That's because you're living your dream.
You're so right.
I'm Shelby.
I'm Sam.
It's the Rom Complex. One, two, three, four.
Oh, I'll meet you at the meet cute, wearing a meat suit. That's a suit, it's made out of meat. And you and me.
Woo, we're launching into, what month is it?
New York month. I don't know. I don't think we gave it a title, actually.
Okay, it's New York month.
It's
we're
just
talking
New York
about
month.
New York this month.
Yeah, we are.
And we are starting out with the quintessential New York romance epic decades long story.
Yes.
And that is Sex and the City. And we obviously could not do it ourselves. So we brought on some friends.
Yes, we did. For this mammoth of an episode.
You can hear them peeping in the background. Please welcome Nikki and Bree of Late to the Party, a film, fashion, and pop culture podcast.
Hey.
Welcome,
ready,
guys.
To party. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, so right off the bat, first thing I want to ask both of you, do you believe in love at first sight?
Wow, hard-hitting questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. 100%. Hard yes, no questions, yes, absolutely, it exists. Have you experienced love at first sight? I'm like, now I gotta know.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow.
What about you guys?
I'm a bit skeptical on the whole love at first sight situation. Like, I can definitely, listen, I read a lot of romance. I watch a lot of rom-coms. I fall in love every time I see an attractive person in public, right? But is it really love? Probably not.
Maybe we just second guess ourselves too much. And we
Maybe.
Could this whole time be like, yeah, it's love at first sight.
Listen, I love it.
It.
The confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in love at first sight. Do I believe in Mr. Big and Carrie Bradshaw? Maybe not. I don't
Great.
Know.
Okay, so that leads us into another question, which is like, what's your experience with Sex and the City?
Well, I mean, I was late to the party on Sex and the City. Like, I remember this movie coming out, though, and being a moment. And I remember Labels of Love being like a moment. Because I'm a Fergie stan. I remember like, like that was on my radar. But I don't know if I saw the first movie in theaters. And I didn't start watching the show until maybe like, I don't know, what, 2018 or 2019, maybe?
Oh, wow.
Nikki got me into the
Yeah, I was obsessed. In high school, I would watch the reruns on E.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like the sanitized Sex and the City.
That's so funny you say that, because that's also my introduction to Sex and the City, was just like the random reruns that were... I thought the show was way tamer than it actually is. And then I, in my adulthood, watched the real version on HBO and I was like, oh, okay. I see what we're doing.
The version you watched is just called And the City.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, even the Sex and the City movie, like in high school, I would watch that on E. Mm-hmm. And there's, I didn't realize Miranda and Steve had that much sex.
Yeah.
It blew my mind.
It was wild.
Just very full frontal too.
Oh yeah.
I had never watched any of the show at all. This movie is my first introduction to it for watching it for this.
I love that for you.
Yeah. And I had a blast. Like watching the movie, I was like, I get it. I get why people like this show. You could just put this on and go about your day and just have Sex and the City on. It's like one of those things.
Well, I mean, I think before we start getting into the plot of the movie, I have to ask everybody, like, are you a Carrie or are you a Charlotte or Miranda or a Samantha? I have thoughts on all of those things. All of those characters, rather.
I'll go first. I'm definitely a mix of Charlotte and Samantha. The, like, sweet kind of one who's, you know, got her couple stuff on lock and the kind of... Oh, I love sex. And look, not that I'm like that, but just like a strong older woman kind of thing. I don't know why I'm thinking of myself as an older woman in this scenario. I swear to God, I'm dating a guy 3 years younger than me, and I'm like, oh, I'm a cougar now.
Yeah, Carrie.
Some good main character energy. Is that what you feel for yourself?
A little bit, for myself especially.
Yeah.
Into self-sabotaging tendencies, love fashion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. For better or for worse, I'm a Carrie.
I would say Miranda for me.
Yeah. Nice.
I think Miranda gets treated the worst in the movie.
Yeah. You mean like how they, like what they wrote for her?
Yes. What they wrote for her.
I think what they write for her in general is awful because the reboot, the And Just Like That, her character, awful. And I know Shelby has no context for this, but it's
no
this
idea.
Movie times a million. Like it's bad. They really butchered her. And I think I'm with you, Shelby. I think I'm a mix of Samantha and Charlotte. I think I have the independence and like that fierce need to do whatever I want, whenever I want that Samantha has. And then this still very like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, get a dog and a nice apartment with the man that I love and, you know, be happily ever after forever. Yeah, I think we're the same in that.
Yeah, so we're all represented.
I just think Samantha and Charlotte are the same person. They're two sides of the same coin. I think it's just the way they express themselves because Charlotte's an inner freak. I know you don't have any context.
Yeah.
But you must know.
Okay.
You can. Yeah. Well, when you see someone like that who's so like prim and proper, you're like, oh, no, she's hiding something.
Charlotte fucks.
Yeah, Charlotte fucks, but she also like wouldn't eat any of the food in Mexico. And that to me is like, I don't relate to that at all.
No.
You know?
Oh, I do. That's fully me. I'm like, someone's trying to poison me. No thanks.
Like paranoia.
I would feel like, yeah, it's me and I'm going to feel good about it because it's going to taste delicious.
Yeah, same, honestly. I'm like, did you see those spreads? You think I'm going to say no to some of the food on those tables? Absolutely not. Can't relate.
So this movie, the structure of it, for someone who's not familiar with Sex and the City at all, and it is long, it's like almost 2.5 hours, but that's because it's basically just like 3 40-minute episodes of show, you know? It's like 3 45-minute episode of a show. It's more show. It's not different from the show. They just took the show and like took regular storylines that you might have in a season of a show and put it in a nice long movie. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I think that's a good thing. I get why it's long.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I enjoy every 2 hours and what did you say, 20 minutes?
25, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I saw that, I was like, oh no, that's so long. But you're right. I mean, I think they break it up in a way that it doesn't, it just almost feels like you're binging episodes of Sex and the City versus like sitting to watch one full movie. I think I saw this in theaters. I can't remember. My memory's shit. So I don't know if I actually did or not, but it probably felt longer in a movie theater.
Yeah.
But we were clamoring at that time. I mean, I didn't see it in the movie theaters. I was a little too young. But like we were clamoring at that moment for Sex and the City content, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because at that point, the show had been off the air for like 3 4 years. It was like four years after it ended. So yeah, everybody was dying for more of these friends, these New York friends.
Did fans of the show like this movie when it came out? Do we know?
So, but
I think
I don't know.
I think from what I understand is yes with a question mark, but then it progressively got worse. Like Sex and the City 2 was loathed, and then And Just Like That really does a number on these characters and it's done a number on us Sex and the City fans. So Sex and the City movie is when times are good still.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So this is like, yeah, maybe there were some complaints, but like we'd give anything to go back.
Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, give us more. And unfortunately, the production listened too much and gave us too much of the bad stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't know if it was all necessary, but.
Right. So like we mentioned earlier, the movie follows four women. Carrie, she's the main character. She's a writer. She's a fashionista. I don't know what else she's doing. She's narrating the whole movie. And thank God, because I wouldn't know what was going on if she weren't narrating it, because you have no context, which makes it perfect. Now, I don't know if y'all know this. I don't like narration in movies. I think it's usually bad and unnecessary. But in this context, it makes so much sense because, first of all, you have to give a lot of information very quickly to catch up people who did not watch the show, right? Second of all, she is a writer, so she's writing this in her little blog, and we're meant to see this character is actually writing this stuff. So, like, it actually makes sense here, and I'm really thankful for the narration. So it starts out with Carrie just narrating, telling us where she and all of her friends are in life.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Sam, give me your best, like, what you're doing in your life in a Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh, gosh. Okay. As I sat at my desk for the eighth hour, not getting up to eat or drink because the emails kept pouring in, I thought to myself, why is it that we spend so much time making other people money than making ourselves money?
That's a great question. Fortunately, the ladies in this movie do not have to deal with any
not at all.
Questions
I don't
of money.
Know. Yeah. I think what I really liked about watching this was that realizing that they are a bit older, because obviously in the series, we're categorizing them at like at very young ages and we get to kind of grow with them on the show. But at this point, these ladies are ballin'. Mm-hmm. Like they have gotten to that point in their life where they're paying for the drink tab. They're buying the Louis Vuittons for their assistants. They're doing all this stuff. And I'm like, that's what I want to be when I'm in my 40s. That's exactly what I want to be doing.
No, they're aspirational.
Yes.
At this point in time, Carrie really is living the life. Like she has Mr. Big, which is what she's always wanted. Mm-hmm. She's writing for Vogue. Mm-hmm. You know, she gets to have an assistant.
Yeah. And in the beginning, she's like trying on these very fancy gowns because she and Mr. Big decided that they're going to get married because... Mm-hmm. And this is the whole crux of the first part of the movie, because there's like, you know, a few big storylines in the movie because it's like a few episodes of the show. It's great. Yeah. So we're starting out. They're getting an apartment. They find a beautiful apartment and he's like, I will buy this apartment for you. And as soon as he said that, she's like, oh, my God. He's like, I got it. I was like, I am not comfortable with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be kind of, I don't know, definitely a power dynamic.
Exactly. And she has a problem with it because she then immediately goes to like this big like jewelry auction where this lady who was living with her partner but didn't want to get married, they broke up and she didn't have a way to stay in the home because they weren't married and she had no like legal recourse. So she was auctioning off all this jewelry. So it's just a very in your face, like, here you go, Carrie. This could happen to you.
So you better lock it down.
Right.
I would just have him put my name on the deed or something.
Yeah.
Like, babe, yeah, you can finance it, but like, I also own it. Put my name on everything.
Yeah. I guess that's an option. They don't really explore that.
No, they needed the drama, I think. They needed it to be like, you know, unrealistic.
This movie has a lot of drama.
Definitely. I mean, I'm a later in life Mr. Big apologist. He never said, like, I got this and you have to sell your apartment. Like, he's very surprised when she wants to sell it. I think Carrie, just because of the pressure and probably that, like, insecurity in her heart because of all that's happened in the series with Mr. Big, she's like, yeah, we have to lock this down and define this. But he's not telling her, you know, she'd always have that apartment. It's her that decides to kind of fully go in.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, this is, you know, I'm choosing love because it's making sense or whatever. Like there's not a lot of romance involved in their decision. And she's like trying to convince herself that she's okay with that. And she is, but it's still, you can tell it's kind of weighing on her a bit. And in the end, you realize it was weighing on him, too, because he brings it up at the end. But for now, they're just like, we're going to get married. At first, it's just going to be a small thing, right?
Yeah. Like 75 people. She's going to get dressed in this like skirt suit thing that she found with no label, you know. And I think like Carrie's arc throughout this movie is very much like submitting to societal pressures versus like doing what she actually wants to do and what she's okay with. Like society is telling her she shouldn't be okay with just living with her elderly man friend in their giant apartment. Right? Let's call a spade a spade. He's old. He's been married 3 times before. So she starts to get this kind of like, she starts to second guess all of her choices. Like, I'm not making the right choice. Then you add on like the Vogue shoot, the last single girl, like all these external things start really getting to her. And instead of talking with her partner about it, which is, you know, what you should do for anyone listening who is struggling with the same things, she says no.
With labels or love.
Yeah. Right.
And okay, I didn't get it at first, but I was like open to the movie. I'm like, what's going to happen here? Mm-hmm. And then there's that scene where she's in all of these different wedding gowns from all of these designers and it's a photo shoot and everything looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The dresses are gorgeous. The photo, it's like amazing. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Yeah, this is great. This is like if someone is like, I have anger, and then they watch like a movie about a boxer or something. If it's like, oh, I love dresses, then you watch this and you get to look at all the beautiful clothes and like all of these things that you would never really get the chance to look at, like a wedding at the New York Public Library. Like, when are you going to get to see that? But you can see it in a movie. And that's like one of the reasons that movies are cool.
That Vivian Westwood gown, yeah. It's impeccable. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely stunning.
Put a bird on it.
She could put a bird on it. Yeah.
I could have done without the bird, if I'm being honest. But Vivian Westwood is like specifically the designer that I'm like, if I was ever going to have like a huge wedding, which I don't want, but if I ever was going to like drop some coin on a wedding dress, it would be a Vivian Westwood. They are so stunning.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
So they're deciding to get married. This wedding's getting bigger and bigger. Now the guest list is at like 200 people. And Mr. Big is like, what? And you could tell he's getting a little frustrated because we as an audience, we know she's just getting caught up in like the pageantry of it and the whole wedding and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, if you're both on the same page and you know, oh, this part's just the pageantry of it, our relationship is safe and sacred and ours. That's one thing. But it seems like she got a little carried away and he didn't know how to
carried
be right.
Away.
Oh, well.
Went for the same joke. That was great. I appreciate it.
Meanwhile, Miranda is settled down with Steve and
hating her life.
Yeah, Brady, her kid, she's working nonstop. She's like, no time for anything else. She just takes care of the kid. She does her work. She's not focusing on anything else, including having sex with her husband, you know? And not like for him, like for her, you know? Like she is high strung. Mm-hmm. So, so high strung. Girl could use a little unwinding, if you know
what
I mean.
A little release, if you will. Yeah, but I think that tracks with her character from the show as well, in terms of just, I think Miranda is the kind of person that thrives off of saying, I can't, I have work, or I have a meeting. I can't do that. I'm busy. I have all this stuff. Like, she's the kind of person that loves being busy.
Mm-hmm. Brie, do you relate to that as a self-proclaimed Miranda?
A little bit. I do find myself saying things like that sometimes. I have like a little workaholic tendencies that I gotta check myself.
You get a little shiver down your spine and you're like, no, I can't, I have work. And you're like, oh, my Miranda's coming out.
Yeah. Down girl.
Yeah. But it does kind of bother me in the show when she's like, oh, I've got to work. Because everyone else is working too, you know, and later on when they go to Mexico and she's like, I can't do that. I can't just drop everything.
Yeah. We all have jobs.
And everyone's also low-key disrespectful to Samantha, which I don't like the Samantha slander. Like in that scene, Miranda's like looks at Samantha, who is a successful public relations person, and is like, I have a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they are always slandering Samantha. I feel like she gets, and I think it's partially because of the whole Kim Cattrall drama of it all and, you know, how SJP feels about Kim Cattrall, but
I don't know about any of this.
Oh, that's right. You're not in it. There was just a lot of drama. It took a lot for Kim Cattrall to even sign on for the movie. I think that's why it got delayed a couple of years is what I read on the IMDb, because I don't remember anything about this movie when it came out. But yeah, that was like, it had to do with like pay and how, like, unlike the Friends cast, you know, who all banded together to make sure that they were all getting proper pay raises. I think the cast of Sex and the City were very much like, every man for himself, you figure it out, you get your money. And they never wanted to give Kim her due, even though, in my opinion, she's one of the best characters on. I love watching her in every single scene she's in.
Absolutely.
Same. She's one of the best in television.
Yeah.
Totally. In agreement. Agreed. Samantha is fantastic TV.
You're right. I am. You're right. I am fantastic TV. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, right, Miranda and Steve not having sex. They're having sex at one point, like, for the first time in, like, 6 months. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to keep it going. He's, like, having a good time. And she's like, oh, my God, can we just get this over with? Which I get. She's like, we have to be up in 4 hours. And, like, I get where both of them are coming from, because I've totally been in that place where it's like, I have to go to sleep. Like, if I don't sleep enough, like, I'm going to be really upset the next day. Yeah. I'm sorry. But, you know, clearly this has been a problem for them for a while.
Right. It probably wasn't the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
I think tone is important in that as well. Like, it wasn't like a, babe, I know you want this to keep going, but please, like, I just, let me, just let me come, please. I'm so tired and I need this release. It was more so like she was chastising him. I think that's one of my biggest like takeaways from their relationship, is it very much feels like almost like a parent-child relationship, which sounds really gross, but she is very like condescending to Steve. And where Steve is trying to create this closeness with them because they haven't had sex in a long time, Miranda's like, I don't have time for you. It's almost like the kid trying to show them your like macaroni painting. And she's like, get out of here.
Oh my God. I don't want to look at that. Don't do that to a kid.
I know.
Look at the macaroni. What could you be doing? Like, what could be so important? Look at the kid's macaroni art.
Yeah. Let him have fun in the bedroom.
I think that's our dynamic too. Miranda's always been so mean to Steve.
Yeah.
I don't
and
like
then just
that.
Like that, it escalates.
Oh, truly. Yeah.
The worst of all the choices. Shelby, you don't know this, but in the show, Miranda cheats on Steve.
After this whole thing?
Yes. And they end up getting a divorce, I think. I stopped watching, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I'm traumatized.
I'm so sorry for you. I truly, my condolences.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, that's what happened, is Steve comes to Miranda and he says, I am so sorry. I slept with someone else. It was one time. It was like, you know, he's clearly very upset. And she immediately is like, no, which she's mad, rightfully so. But she's so mad that she just leaves and basically never comes back. Well, I mean, until the end of the movie. But like for the whole rest of the movie, she's just like, no, I am
not going to hear. She ices him out.
Yeah, she ices him out. She doesn't want to hear an apology. She just continues as if like he is just cut off from her life, which honestly I could probably do. I've done similar things. But what do you
That's
want
so
to?
That's so Miranda.
Right. Hurt that is so people. Miranda of me. Right. That's true. That's true. But yeah, clearly she's trying to protect herself. And I think that a lot of people would say, like, that's what you're taught growing up, is if someone cheats on you, you leave them. You don't stay with them. Right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't think people leave room for the gray area. Because I mean, I agree. I think for myself personally, like, if I was ever cheated on, I don't know how I would be able to come back from that with someone. Like, I don't know how I'd be able to ever trust them again. So I don't know how I could do it, but I do believe that there is kind of this gray area. Like, you have to look at the intention and the impact of everything to really gauge it. And if you know, factor love in there too. It's like, can I see myself without this person for the rest of my life? Do I think they're going to do it again? Can I live in that uncertainty that they could rip my heart out at any given moment. Like, there's a lot to consider.
That happens with Carrie and Big, and Big doesn't even cheat, though. He just leaves her at the altar.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which one's worse?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny because Charlotte literally is like, oh, it's worse what Big did. Like, she was she even says it in the movie because she's like, oh, what Big did was much worse.
It definitely was more public.
Yeah.
Like, it was public humiliation versus, like, the only people that really know what happened with Steve and Miranda are the, like, close friends. Yeah.
But it could have still stayed in that small circle if he just got out of that car. Or if Carrie just talked to him and was like, what were you thinking? You know, like, because he was having cold feet. Like, he could have been maybe talked down. I don't know. I feel like that whole scene is so frustrating, but I get why they have it in the movie. Like, you need the drama. But.
Well, let's get into it, because, like, what happens is they're at the rehearsal dinner. Steve shows up trying to talk to Miranda. Miranda's very upset. And when he leaves, she's talking to Big, and she's like, you know what? You guys are crazy for getting married. It sucks. And, you know, Big, the night before the wedding, he's calling Samantha, or not Samantha, Carrie. Their names, they're all the same.
I like the storyline, though.
Wow. Right.
He's just calling Samantha and she's not picking up.
Why is he calling? No, why does he have her number? I don't know. So they are like, he's trying to write his vows and he calls Carrie and he's like, I don't know if we should be doing this. Mm-hmm. And Carrie basically is so sweet and nice about his doubts. She's like, you're just having writer's block. Like, you know, you're going to get through this, whatever. But you can kind of tell in her face that she knows something is up. Conveniently, she does not have her phone with her the next day when she's in her wedding dress, looking gorgeous. Giant peacock feather on her head. Red lipstick. Never would have thought of this matchup, but it's fantastic.
A combination that works.
Right. He's been calling her and calling her. He's outside the venue.
This frustrates me so much because you mean to tell me he doesn't have any of her friends' numbers after 10 years, literally. You know, maybe Samantha.
Yeah, he should be calling Samantha.
Everybody. He should call everybody that he knows is with Carrie. Like, I don't understand why he's just calling her, like, fucking broke ass little flip phone that could have been broken for a number of reasons.
I don't know. I always scream at the TV at that moment. I'm like, no.
Pick another number, Big.
Yeah.
Because even Samantha has a freaking iPhone. I think it's like the first time an iPhone. I think I read that in the trivia. Yeah. Oh, it was like the first time an iPhone was featured in a movie.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I love when Samantha shows Carrie the iPhone and she's like, no, 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 I don't know how to use that.
Carrie is a traditionalist through and through. She's like, listen, I don't, technology, we're not working together. I'm old school.
So Big is outside. He sees her pull up. He wants to see her face, but she turns and her veil's lowered and he's just like, ah. So he freaking leaves. He leaves. And then, like, she finally gets a hold of him, like, on a different, someone else's phone, right? And he says he left. And she's like, what? And so she's, of course, devastated. Her friends are like, immediately they coordinate and they get her out of there. Like, she's in a car, she's going the other way. Big suddenly is like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You have to commit at that point. You gotta go far away.
Right.
Don't come back.
After you tell her, you had a minute when you were driving away before she called you, but now
it's too late now.
It's too late to apologize.
Exactly.
I think the most frustrating bit about Carrie and Big's relationship is because they constantly talk about it in the movie. They, like, have all these callbacks to, oh, Big and Carrie, they've gone through so much, right? They've had this 10-year-long relationship that's had its ups and its downs and, like, all this stuff. And yet they're still acting like they're 22 and don't know how to talk to each other. Like, in what world? Like, you guys are too old to be making this same mistake. I could, you know, season one, Carrie and Big, he leaves her at the altar because she didn't pick up her fucking phone. Yeah, okay. Great.
Oh, does that happen or is that
no,
just like,
no, it doesn't.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, that version of themselves, this, like, immature new relationship. But you guys have been in it for 10 years. You guys have put each other through some shit. It's like, let's stop with the 22-year-old mistakes. Like, you guys are in your 40s at this point. Figure it out.
They're not soulmates. Carrie tries to make them soulmates their whole story arc, even into interest like that. But Big does not obviously feel the same way. It's only when it's convenient for him or when he's too old and has finally given up, essentially, or he's always so embarrassed to be around her and doesn't want this lifestyle. It's a thing with them. And I've had enough.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had enough. You know what? It stops here. Yeah. So he leaves her at the altar. She is devastated. Mm-hmm. She's leaving. He tries to come back. They encounter each other and he's like, wait, I changed my mind. And she just whacks him with her bouquet over and over again.
Iconic.
The violence.
Yeah.
Violence by rose petal or lily petal, whatever the hell kind of flower it is. Flower petals.
Sarah Jessica Parker sold this scene so well. The way she reacts, like on the phone when she's like, he's not coming. The emotion in her voice, she sounds panicked and terrified. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's great. It's fantastic.
I love Charlotte's reaction in that scene where she like yells at Big. I think that was like a meme for a while because she's like, no.
Yeah. So the girls all go, the women decide, drop everything. They need to take care of Carrie. They're all going to Mexico on Carrie's honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mexicoma.
The Mexicoma. Yes, because Carrie is depressed. She's in bed all day. Her friends are literally like feeding her, spoon feeding her. They're so good to her. Yes, they're so good to her. And this is one of like multiple instances of in this movie where the friendship is just so strong and caring and like beautiful that I was like, oh, like I was like, I really get it. This is good. But yeah, Mexico is the first one. They really take care of her until she kind of lightens up a little bit. And then Charlotte accidentally poops her pants.
And Carrie's healed.
And then Carrie's fully healed. She laughs and she feels
like,
better.
She's like, this is it, guys. I'm back.
All I need.
Which I get.
Yeah.
Charlotte poo-kipsying in her pants is the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
Hot take.
It is pretty good because honestly, she brought it on herself.
Yeah.
They're in Mexico. She's not eating any of the resort food because Mexico, which is just, Charlotte, you're getting a little racist. You're getting some microaggressions out.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, girl, this was 2008, I guess. So.
Yeah. So she's only eating little pudding packs. Which
can't be good for your digestion either. Just all pudding.
I was going to say, my hot take is I don't think the water was actually what made her Poughkeepsie. It was definitely the pudding cups.
I agree completely because she like opened her mouth in the shower and accidentally got some water in her mouth. And they said that. And she's like, oh, that's what made me sick. Wait, I don't think so.
She spit it out. There's no, it never even went through.
It was the pudding.
Yeah. It was the pudding. It was probably old. It was probably like expired. Yes, yeah. Come on.
Absolutely. Charlotte, by the way, she's married to Harry, has a girl she adopted, Lily. She finds out she's pregnant. Okay, so they get home to New York after this lovely little trip where they're just, the gals are having fun. And Carrie hires an assistant.
Yeah.
She's like, this is the perfect time.
Right.
For assistant. Whatever that means.
My life is a mess. Let me hire someone else to clean it up for me.
Let me hire Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson. She hires Jennifer Hudson.
I know. Isn't that wild?
Who's adorable in this movie. She's like, so cute.
Yeah.
Louise from St. Louis.
Yes. Yeah, such a fun. And we talked about Meet Me in St. Louis, not recently, Christmas time, right?
Yeah.
Which I was like, hey, now I have a point of reference for what that movie is about.
There you go. So Charlotte's afraid that something is going to happen to her baby.
Mm-hmm.
So she stops running. This would be just like a tiny little B plot in like one episode of a story or like a C plot, you know?
Yeah.
She's afraid something's going to happen to her baby. And Carrie is like, listen, you shit your pants. I think that's the worst thing that's going to happen to you this year. I think you're good. And honestly, she was right. Charlotte was fine.
Yeah. 100%. I love that. That is such a, like, I'm not a Carrie, but that's something I would say. I'd be like, listen, I think considering you just shit your pants, I think you're fine. Like,
feel like life's going to be easy in that moment. Like, I feel like I'm always paranoid about something and I don't know what, you know, like something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, her fears are definitely warranted, especially because, you know, throughout the whole series, she really wanted to have a baby. And so because they weren't able to and all that other stuff, they were able to adopt Lily. But this is like a new, it's like she probably thought, okay, I don't ever have to worry about pregnancy or any of that stuff ever again. And then it's an accidental pregnancy. So now she's terrified.
Yeah. I mean, if I were suddenly pregnant, even if I had wanted it before, like, you're still, there's a lot to prepare for there.
Yeah,
it's true.
Your body's changing.
So over like New Year's, a lot of them, they're, you know, separate. They're separate little things. And Miranda's getting really lonely. And I think this is another one of my favorite little instances of friendship in this, which is that Carrie, who's been doing pretty well, and she sent her, you know, her gal, Louise, home for New Year's or whatever. Carrie is talking to Miranda and Miranda's like finally opening up and being like, I'm really lonely, basically. And Carrie's like, I can get over there. I can get a cab. And Miranda's like, no, that would be ridiculous. It's very far away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carrie does it. She shows up in time for New Year's. Yeah. She runs. It's really sweet. And they get to spend that time together. And just to have a friend who, like, you're like, I don't ask for much, but here's the one thing. I just wanted to let you know I'm feeling a little sad. And then and your friend hears that and is like, no, you need this right now. That's just beautiful to me.
My favorite parts of, well, the series and the movie are definitely the friendship moments, which is the real love.
Yes.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I was going to say that. I think the love story of the series and the film are the friendships. Like those, they start and end with this four group, these four women together in some kind of, like, they're either at a dinner table getting drinks, like they're always together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the magic of the show really is. And all of the like romantic relationships are just kind of the noise. It's like, oh, what's Carrie dealing with? Oh, a shitty, you know, guy. Who cares? Like when she fights with Miranda in this movie, that's what I'm invested in. No, don't be mad. Like, you guys love each other. Like, be friends again.
Are those moments of joy? Like Samantha during this whole movie is with Smith Jared in LA, but she flies back to New York and there's two times where she comes back and like the joy and like the celebration of Samantha returning just like warms my heart.
Yeah. It's so sweet. I love groups of friends. I'm firmly in the group dynamic. I love a group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, love is love, right? Whether it's romantic love or love for friends, you're still doing the same things. You're being there for someone emotionally, you know, you're knowing them, you're seeing them and supporting them. And I think you can learn those lessons, whether you're talking about romantic love in a story or friendship love. Like, you know, the way that Carrie is there for Miranda is how you would want to be there for, at least for me, I see that as like, that's how I'd want to be there for, you know, people I care about.
You can say my name. It's okay. Say it.
That's how I am. Sam, I'll be there for you.
Thank you. I'll be there for you too.
Thank
and
you.
And we have done that. We know we have done that for each other.
Absolutely.
100%. So it's yeah. Do you guys live close to each other? Or is it like an easy pop-over?
For like 4 minutes. Right now.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome. I have this dream to one day like live in a building with all of my friends so that if it's like, man, I'm having a really rough time, it's like, okay, I'll come upstairs. And then it's just like a floor difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would love it.
Like the show Friends, basically.
Yeah essentially.
I would love to live that.
Yeah. Well,
the friends in question here, Carrie and Miranda, we spoke about some of them, their conflict, which is because it gets to like Valentine's Day. Carrie and Miranda go out to dinner. And Carrie is talking about how she was looking at that Vogue article about her getting married. And they had to edit it to be like, oh, they didn't actually get married. But she was looking at it and all of the quotes were her talking about, like, I think this and I'm going to do this. And well, I want this. And it's like, it wasn't about her and Mr. Big at all. And she kind of realized where she fell short in that whole question. And then Miranda immediately is like, oh, by the way, I told him that he was crazy to be getting married. And You'd think it'd be long enough that, like, you know, that Carrie would be like, oh, okay. But no, she gets really mad and doesn't talk to her for months.
Yeah.
That's not Miranda's fault. Like, no. Big had that. That's an excuse.
Yeah. It was the confirmation that he was already thinking it.
He was like, it's a sign.
Yeah. It didn't help, but he still made that choice.
Right. And if like one person saying something is going to make your partner not want to get married to you anymore, then like they weren't in it.
Yeah.
Like they were 100%. Not ready anyway.
Yeah. I also think that I think the reaction makes sense because I don't think she says like, oh, you're the reason I didn't get married. Or she does. But she also says that you kept this from me.
Right.
Like this was a secret that you kept. And it was pretty big. I think the fact that Miranda was even considering telling her while they were in Mexico is like, yeah, she really needed to get this off and, you know, tell her friend. But I think the reaction is overblown. I think it's more like, I'm hurt you didn't tell me, but I also recognize this isn't your fault. And I'm glad that we've cleared the air. Like, I'm not going to stop talking to you.
Yeah. They just had to have some drama again.
Yeah. They needed it.
Make a big scene at the restaurant.
Yeah. Right. With the cab pulling up in the rain and they have to sit and have this conversation in the cab.
Yeah.
Very Mr. Big and Carrie in the TV series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also like that Carrie throws in Miranda's face, which is kind of fucked up, but also like Miranda needed to hear it. She's like, I've never kept a secret from you. And then she storms out and comes back and she's like, wait, I lied. I have kept a secret from you. You separating from Steve is like a huge mistake. Like, I think it's a big mistake. And then she leaves again, tangled in the balloons. And I'm like, Miranda needed to hear that. And I think she wanted her friends to tell her that she should work on the relationship with Steve and like navigate the whole cheating thing. But nobody really wanted to step on her toes. So
I think they kind of were trying to tell her that because they were even like, you know, have you thought about forgiving Steve? Mm-hmm. And if even your friends, your close friends are like, have you thought about forgiving this man? Then like, you got to think about it. Like if Sam were telling me to forgive someone.
Yeah.
Then
because my philosophy is men ain't shit. So if I'm telling you to forgive a man, you probably need to forgive that man.
Well, Steve is a good man.
He really is. I mean, he really does care about her. And you can even see, like, he tells her immediately after it happens. This isn't a secret that's like drawn out for months. It's not a reoccurring thing. And he's so hard. Like, he's like a little puppy. And I feel so bad for him throughout like that first part of the movie, so much so that when we finally, you know, that knocks some sense into Miranda. And so she goes to couples counseling with Steve, right? Mm-hmm. And they kind of air that, you know, she doesn't think she could ever trust him again. And he even says, I don't think that I could ever trust her again for the way that this was handled. Like, you iced me out. We didn't have a conversation about it. And that puts me, like, that makes me worry. So then when they finally, like, their therapist tells them to write a, like, you know, figure out if being together is something you actually want to do. And then they decide to meet in the middle of the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm not even going to lie. I like low key cried when it happened. And I've already seen this movie and I already knew what was going to happen. But it's still the look on Steve's face. I wasn't even looking at Miranda. When Steve finally appears on that bridge, he looks like the happiest little golden retriever dog. And I'm just like so happy for him that I started crying.
That's such a good moment.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. And particularly, it's kind of this recurring thing in the love stories that I really like, which is it isn't like really big stuff that keeps people together that really reminds people. It's like tons and tons of little things. So there was this part in the beginning where she had like foam on her lip and Steve, Miranda had foam on her lip and Steve like wiped it off. And then she is trying to decide, she's weighing all of the pros and cons of whether to get back to him. And she gets foam on her lip and she sees like in the mirror and she's reminded of this tiny little moment of sweetness between them. And the thing is, when you have years and a life built with someone, you have so many of those tiny little moments of sweetness that even something big like him cheating on her this one time or her icing him out from this, like, it's possible they could recover from it and be stronger than ever. So they decide to forget all of the bad stuff and like start anew. And yeah. I think it's really nice. It's really touching. It's beautiful.
It's like the Brooklyn Bridge too. Because knowing yeah. what, like in the series, the whole big thing with Miranda is she can't believe she's moving to Brooklyn for Steve. Mm-hmm. And that's like her life is over because Brooklyn's so far away. And it's like they meet at the Brooklyn Bridge to reconnect. And I don't know, it's very sweet.
Very symbolic of their whole relationship, like the meeting halfway and all of that kind of stuff. Listen, I told you, it made me cry. So
I get it.
Yeah. I cried twice in this movie.
What was the second?
The second was actually just at the end when they're celebrating Samantha's 50th. It just friendship makes me emotional because it's just so sweet. Like they've been with each other, obviously, like in the context of the series, they've been with each other for so long. And like they've had their fights, they've had their falling outs. They're all kind of spread out. You have Samantha in LA and haven't really talked about her storyline, but she's been struggling this whole movie with her commitment to Smith and whether or not like she can be in a monogamous relationship, whether that's something she wants to do.
Mm-hmm. She's also putting him first a lot, which,
yes,
which like is not in her character.
It's not at all. And I'm so glad that by the end of it, she decides to put herself first and say like, I love you, but I love me more. Sorry. Like, I have to do this for myself. And moves back to New York where she belongs. She doesn't fucking belong in LA.
But that's right. Yeah. Like, if it's hurting her to be mm-hmm. with him, then that it just doesn't work. It doesn't matter if you love each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know? And yeah, I like that she is like, you know what? And they go over it in the movie, too. They're like, some love stories are shorter than others, but that doesn't mean they're any, like, less meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that.
Yeah. I also really like the element of Samantha's struggle where she talks about how she doesn't want to leave Smith because he was with her through the chemo, which was like mm-hmm. a big portion of the series, right? When Samantha had to go through all of that. And it's like, I get the struggle of being like, it would be selfish of me to have taken that from someone, like taken that care and time and all of that stuff. And then just be like, okay, I can't actually function in this relationship. But I don't think that it's a cruel thing to say, you know, I love and appreciate you and I still have so much love for you, but I mm-hmm. have to make these decisions for myself.
I mean, he took it well.
Yeah.
Also, he aged. I remember him looking super like young in the series. So to see him in the movie, I was like, wow, okay. He's like a man now.
He's a man now.
Yeah.
Before we get into the last kind of parts of this movie, Nikki and Bree, do either of you have like a rom-com moment that you've experienced in real life? Like a meet cute or a mm-hmm. witty banter or running across an airport?
I don't know if I have Nick.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm kind of living in it.
Woo,
to be honest.
Really?
It's such an okay. So my fiance and I, mm-hmm. we knew each other when we were 11 years old. We went to school together. Cute. I said I was gonna marry him.
Yes.
Anyways, so then we, you know, after high school, I move away from home. I'm like, I'm never coming back here again. He does the same. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, we end up moving back to our hometown and falling in love. Long story short.
Yay! Oh my God.
And now we're getting married. So my 11-year-old self was right.
Yes.
You know what? You knew something. You knew something that your consciousness didn't even know. Like that was, you were pulling that from somewhere in the beyond. You're like, I see it. That's mine. It might take a while.
It's great because y'all just got to live for 10 years doing your own thing and then come back and be like, all right, now it's time to fall in love. I love that.
I knew the story was going to be good when you started it with my fiance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So spoiler alert.
I love it.
It's so cool, though.
And Bree, obviously your rom-com moments are yet to come.
I guess. I mean, I don't know if I've had like, I don't know. Definitely not like
not as not clear cut.
Can't top that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be as simple as like my joke is that I met my soulmate on a boat in Budapest and I've never seen him again. What? So, listen, someday he might come back. But it was literally just like one of those magical rom-com nights where it's just happened to be in a conversation with someone. And then, you know, the night became romantic and cute and we'll never see each other again.
It's like a Alexis Bledel's character in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah. Greek man,
but Budapest.
But a Budapest version. Yeah. Sam's version.
So back in NYC, Charlotte almost birthing her child.
Okay.
Super. I don't know how why I phrased that that way. Yeah, I didn't know either. It was going to come out that way when I started the sentence. Charlotte is like a week out from her due date. She's mm-hmm. at a restaurant. She sees across the aisle or whatever, Mr. Big. She tries to get up and go. But he sees her and tries to talk to her. And she, like, has all of this, she has stuff planned out that she wants to say because she's so mad mm-hmm. at him. And she gets so pissed off that her water breaks. This is how pregnancy happens. We all know this is how childbirth works.
Yes. Yes.
You could tell me that and I would totally believe that. Yes. I'd be like, yes, I've seen Sex in the City.
Yes.
The movie.
Yep.
The you movies will convince me of anything at yeah. this point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You get mad, your water breaks. He takes mm-hmm. her to the hospital. She has her baby. He waits there hoping to see Carrie. She's like late or whatever. And Harry is like, hey, I'll send a message. So Harry mm-hmm. is like, when Carrie shows up to meet the baby, is like, hey, can you call Big? He says he wrote you all the time and you never yeah. replied. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking? This is just like The Notebook, because she's like, yeah. what? You wrote me?
It is 100%. And I love that she's like, no, he never, like, it's so sad when she says it too. She's like, no, like,
yeah,
she's like, he doesn't write. He just
right.
doesn't.
He yeah. can't even read, I don't think. yeah. Not sure.
Turns out they were going to her spam email folder because she told her assistant to do that.
To get rid of him.
Yeah. She was like, make sure I don't see his emails, basically. So mm-hmm. she had them sent directly to the assistant's file. Carrie finally gets into that file, sees this man. He didn't write a bunch of letters. He copied and pasted.
It made me mad.
Yes, totally.
He copied and pasted all of the love letters from her book she was reading of, like, love letters from great men of history or something.
He's a plagiarizer.
Which is fine, though. I mean, not everyone can write, right? It's sweet of him to be like, she was reading those. You know what? These great men could talk about love better than I ever could. And he ends mm-hmm. it with one of his own where, you know, he just says that he loves her, basically.
I feel like yeah. I would have been more okay with it had he sent her all of those love letters and then actually wrote her at least a paragraph. Like, my yeah. dude wrote a sentence. Like, yeah. I miss you, call me. Ew. Ew.
The major ick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not to Carrie.
He first wrote her an email that said, I don't know what to say. Which is yeah. like, well, don't send that.
Don't send it. Yeah.
Dude, I'm not a big apologist. I genuinely think he's awful. And spoiler alert, I'm glad he fucking dies and just like that. I'm glad his ass is gone because at least, you know, Carrie isn't tied to that man forever.
I feel a lot better about him dying now that I know what their relationship is like.
True. This is a good reminder.
Yeah.
That's
true. The only time I apologize for Mr. Big, though, is he shows her time and time again, even with these emails. It's not, he puts in minimal effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all on Carrie.
The fact that she's impressed. Yeah. By his sentence.
She knew he was trying.
She could find someone willing to put in more work.
And she did. Okay. Aiden, looking at you.
So she has like a pair of shoes that she left in the penthouse that she and Big were going to get at the beginning of the movie. So she's like, oh, I guess I'll go get these shoes before the penthouse locks are changed. So she gets there and bam, Big is there. They're in the big closet. He built it her a closet, which is mm-hmm. lovely. He's there and immediately they're just like, she runs to him, you know, they're together. They realize like, oh, we were just not being us. He still proposes to her. Now mm-hmm. they're still going to get married, but they do it their way with her in her little vintage simple suit at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then her friends are all there to celebrate.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking movie.
That's a cute ending.
It is a super cute ending. I do love the, are you sure you didn't want your best friends in the whole world here on that day? And she's like, no, it's okay. I just wanted us. And it's like, too bad. Here they are.
I invited them.
Yeah.
That was the biggest gift Mr. Big could give to her is
honestly
being cool with all her friends.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's true. Which is why it makes no sense that he wouldn't have called. Never mind. Okay. We're not going to harp on the fact that he only called Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they end being friends like they started the series, man. And then you get all the little foursome couple of friends, like the quad groups of friends in New York City, like just having their girls' nights. And it's like, yay, friendship.
It's great because at the beginning, Carrie's talking about how people move to New York for like love and labels, right? Because New York is a very fashion city. So a lot of fashion people go there.
Yeah.
And then people are, I guess, moved to New York to find love. There are a lot of people there. You can meet a person you can spend your life with. So it's kind of cool. A lot of times throughout the movie, you're seeing these younger generations of people coming in looking for love and labels the way that she did in the beginning of the series, right? Mm-hmm. And I do keep coming back to that point where she was like, oh, yeah, your 20s are for making your mistakes. Your 30s are for then, you know, figuring all that stuff out. And then your 40s are for paying for the drinks. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great because I would love to be paying for the drinks and not
you having
to do
you can pay for my drinks anytime, Shelby.
Okay.
Anytime. I'm ready. I'm ready for it to happen.
Next round's on me, everybody. Well, any other lingering thoughts about the movie?
Or New York, even? Mm.
Well, New York is true.
Yeah.
Like, the thing about people really do go out there to live their, like, Sex and the City fantasies.
Yeah. It doesn't always work out.
Well, they realize all men are trash, especially in New York City. Especially right now, knowing, like, the dudes are on to the ladies. We have a whole episode on this.
Yeah,
like,
we've overheard a lot in New York.
Yeah. They know. Yeah.
Yeah. And now a bunch of them are punching women all over the place.
I did hear about that.
It's just, it's crazy. I personally hate New York. Sorry, anybody. It's just not my vibe. And I do think from my experience, New York men are trash. I'd rather date one of the rats eating pizza on the subway than date a human man in New York City.
Pizza rat. That's a good rom-com.
Yeah. Ooh. Hey, he's a provider. He's bringing food home.
He's bringing food. Okay. He's putting food on the table. You know, he gets his exercise. He knows how to take the subway. It's perfect.
Pizza rat over Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I am team pizza rat for Carrie. Nikki and Bree, do either of you have relationship advice for our listeners?
Wow. I don't know. You know, there's always the question, labels or love.
Yeah.
And I would say, why not have both?
Yeah, you can have both.
But if you can't, buy a bag and get over it, like Fergie said.
Exactly. I agree with that. I think that what that comes down to is like, know what you want and can have. Mm-hmm. And then like, know what's possible and then like, be realistic.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to find more from us, you can check us out on social media at The Rom Complex on Instagram, TikTok, probably some other stuff.
Yeah, you know, all of the ones. You can also send us an email, theromcomplex@gmail.com. Where can everybody find you guys if they want to check out your podcast? Everybody go listen. They're very fun over there.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Late to the Party with Nikki and Bree. You can find us at the Late to the Party Pod on Instagram, TikTok, sometimes Twitter.
Sometimes Twitter. I think we're LTT Pod
on Twitter. And
nice.
Yeah, listen to us on Apple and Spotify and Google Podcasts while that's still a thing. Yeah, we talk about film, fashion, and pop culture, and very similar to you guys. And we talk about Sex and the City a lot. So
yeah, I was gonna say film, fashion, and culture. That's Sex and the City, baby. That's
yeah,
all of
absolutely.
It.
If you want to give us a little support financially and at the same time get a bunch of bonus content, you can do so at patreon.com/theromcomplex. We have tons of bonus content, including mini episodes, tarot readings from Sam, and if you're a $10 patron, we will say your name on the podcast. So big thank you to Alex AWOL, DarlingHomebody.com, aka Nicole J, HPG, that's Hit People Guy, JTrain, Choo Choo, and Catherine W.
Thanks so much, guys, for your support. And thank you, Nikki and Bree, for coming on the episode today. We had so much fun.
Yay.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And catch us. We'll be on their podcast too, guys. So make sure you definitely go follow to listen to us over there as well. And until then, remember to keep falling in love
with yourselves.
Bye. Bye.